This week, learning Perek Hey, which begins with an opening pasuk describing the impact that the miraculous crossing of the Jordan River had on the nations of Eretz Canaan. And then, as we'll see, the rest of the perek speaks about, number one, the bris milah that was performed by Yehoshua for the entire nation, or at least for many of them, most of them who had not had bris milah yet. Then the perek speaks of the bringing of the Korban Pesach that the Bnei Yisrael offered when they entered into Eretz Canaan. And then finally, an encounter that Yehoshua had with an unidentified individual standing opposite him with his sword drawn, an individual who turns out to be the Sar Tzva Hashem, and the conversation that Yeshua has with this individual before we even get to the battle with Yericho that will be described in the coming Prakim. And so let's begin first with the opening Pasuk of Perek Hey, Pasuk Aleph, where the Navi tells us that when all of the kings of the Amori heard, and all of the kings of the Canaani heard how HaKadosh Baruch Hu had dried up the water from the banks of the Jordan River to allow the Jews to cross over. So the Pasuk uses the phrase by Yimas Levavam, their heart melted away in fear, and they no longer had any spirit, any fighting spirit to stand up against Klal Yisrael. That's the opening Pasuk of the Perek, and it is what we'd call in Lashon of Chazal, a parasha unto itself. If you look in the Sifrei Nevi'im, there's a paragraph break before the Pasuk starts and a paragraph break after the Pasuk starts, much like you see in the Sefer Torah. There are certain psukim that end, and then there is a blank space left for a few letters or so before another pasuk begins. Paragraph break in English, but a parsha in Lashon Chazal. This one pasuk is a parsha unto itself. There's a paragraph break before it begins and a paragraph break after it begins. It's almost like it's a standalone message informing us before we get to the episode of Klal Yisrael undergoing bris milah, and after we've completed already the description of the nace of the crossing of the Yarden in last perek, we're just describing the impact it had on the residents of Eretz Canaan, the Malchei HaKana'ani, as the pasuk refers to them, who lived near the sea, and the Malchei HaEmori, who are also on the western side of the Jordan River. And what's interesting in this one pasuk is that when you look in the psukim inside the Chumash, the Navi, you see that when the pasuk says as follows, the pasuk says, Asher Hovish Hashem Esmei HaYarden, God dried up the waters of the Yarden, Mipnei Bnei Yisrael, from in front of Bnei Yisrael, Ad, until, and the word as it is read Avram, until they crossed over. Meaning, we're describing in the Navi how God dried the waters of the Yarden River until the Bnei Yisrael crossed over. But the way it's spelled is not Avram, they crossed over. The way it's spelled is Avreinu, we crossed over. Known in Chazal as a Kriyuk Siv. Now, although we don't often understand necessarily why sometimes a word is written in Tanakh one way and read another way, but the Radak sometimes often tries to explain why the Kriyuk Siv is written one way and read another. Here the Radak does not give us any such explanation, but when one looks in the Pasuk, you see it's written Ad Avreinu, until we crossed over. It's read Ad Avram, until they crossed over, which is reasonable because we're describing what happened with Bnei Yisrael crossing the Yarden. And it's the Navi describing what had already happened. But there's a fascinating interpretation as to what the significance of this Kriyuk Siv is all about. And it's cited in Sefer Mishpat Zozov from a Sefer written by Rav Shmuel Haminer called Eved Melech. And he in turn suggests as follows in Sefer Eved HaMelech. He says that we find in Megillas Esther, the very end of Megillas Esther, the Megillah says, the Hayamim Ha'ela, these days of Purim, Nizkarim, V'Nasim, are remembered and they are relived or performed or fulfilled the whole Dar V'Dar in every generation. So the Rama, in his commentary on Megillas Esther and Sefer Mechir Yayin, comments on that pasuk, very, very end of the Megillah. Hayamim Ha'ela, Nizkarim, V'Nasim, B'chol Dar V'Dar, these days are remembered in each and every generation. So Rama draws the parallel to a very famous halacha we're familiar with in the context of the Nes of Yetzias Mitzrayim. By Yetzias Mitzrayim, we know the Mishnah of Psachim, the Haggadah Shal Pesach, both say, B'chol dar v'dar, chayav liros es atzmo, a person has to see himself in every generation as if he himself experienced the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Rama applies that same idea to this pasuk in the Megillas Esther, and with regard to Purim as well. Our reliving of the Purim story each and every year, as indicated by the pasuk, the very end of the Megillah, Hayamim Ha'ela Nizkarim V'Na'asim B'chol Dar V'Dar, they are remembered and performed each and every generation, is along those same lines, to see ourselves as if we experience the miracles ourselves. And along those same lines, Sefer Eved HaMelech quotes a beautiful, fascinating comment found in Sefer Haredim. And this idea I'm about to share with you is also found in the Mishnah Berurah and Halachos of Davening in Birchas HaShachar. When we say the Az Yashir, the Shir HaSayam, every day. So the Sefer Haredim writes, he says, there's an interesting passage in Sefer Haredim. He talks about different segulas that are so powerful, effective, or useful in ensuring and bringing about a refuah. When someone has a particular machala, a particular illness, so the Sefer Haredim says, if we look throughout Torah, we can find different, maybe call them mitzvos, performances, what he calls segulos, that will be effective in bringing about refuos from illness. And he cites a whole list, 6 or 7 such segulos. Very interesting to see what he picks upon. Shmiras HaShabbos, to be ma'aver amidosav, to not respond to an offense, and other such segulas that he feels are so, so significant. But one of the segulas, the third one that he mentions, is relevant for us and our discussion here right now. He says, the third segula, and he views this as a segula to enable one to be zocha to a refuah from illness. He says, when you say the Shir Es Hayom every day, the Az Yashir, he says, have kavana, say it out loud, say it besimcha rabba, with joy, as if at that very moment, you yourself were experiencing that miracle described in the Az Yashir. And he says that the Medrash tells us that when the Pasuk in Parshas Bishalach describes Vayasa Moshe Yisrael miYamsuf, that Moshe made the Jews travel from the Yamsuf, the Medrash interprets that to mean he moved them beyond their sins. In other words, says the Medrash, that by reciting the Shir Es Hayom, by expressing their gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through song, their sins were forgiven. Because, the Haredim writes, anyone who experiences a nes and expresses shira, song, to thank God for that nes, is deserving of immediate forgiveness for his sins. Mochlin lo akol avonosav. It's in itself a remarkable comment, that if somebody experiences a nes, he must say Shira to express Hodat to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and if he does so, Mochalin lo kol avonosav, all his averos are forgiven. So the Sefer Haredim writes, given that Maimer Chazal in the Medrash, he says, so now that we say Shira Sayyam each and every day, he says, if we say it each and every day, Besimcha Rabba, as if it was right now a miracle we ourselves just experienced, that, he says, will also grant us that tremendous segula, the tremendous zechus. And he's quoting this in the context of a potential segula for a refuah that one perhaps is in need of. But the Sefer Haredim, although even on its own, it's a remarkable lesson and mussar to try and take to heart for our daily davening. As I've commented in the past, sadly, Az Yashir is one of those parts of davening that very often we end up skipping. I should say I end up skipping. Shouldn't speak for anybody else in this room or on the screen. because halacha says when you walk in a little bit late to davening and you've got to catch up to the chazan to get in sync with the tefillah of the tzibur, so your yishtabach is what you're supposed to say along with Baruch Sha'amar and Ashrei. Those are the main things you say. So you come in, you say Baruch Hashachar, you say Baruch Sha'amar, you say Ashrei, you say yishtabach, and if you have to skip to get there, so you skip to get there. So what do we end up skipping? What do I end up skipping so often to get to yishtabach in time with the chazan? The last part before yishtabach is Shiras Hayam. How much sense does that make? Here I have a segula to be mochel and kol avonosav to say Shiras Hayam with simcha keilu. I at this moment experienced the nace, and that's what I skip by almost every day when I walk in late to davening for shacharis. Chaval, such a waste. Such a waste. I really should be regretting this very, very sincerely enough to make significant changes in my davening schedule because of it. It's important musar. But in our context, it's quoted by Sefer Eved HaMelech for the following reason. Getting back to our question, why does the pasuk say this first pasuk in Perek Aleph, which speaks of Ad Avram, until they cross the Yarden, but it's written Ad Avreinu, as if we cross the Yarden. Also, given this idea, the Sefer Haredim, I understand beautifully. Yes, physically they cross the Yarden, but Ad Avreinu, when we speak about the Nes, it should be as if we experienced it. We should be celebrating the Nes as if we experienced it, much like Purim, much like Shiras Hayam, much like Yitzias Mitzrayim at Haggadah Lo Pesach. To always think of these Nisim HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us and to try and re-experience them, to fully appreciate them and give Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a tremendous schus from Mechilas Avonos. So that's the opening pasuk to Perek Hey. And before we get into the rest of the Perek, just wanted to share with you a Gemara, which the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Melachim, just by way of introduction to the entire military campaign to conquer Eretz Canaan, and the Rambam Hilchos Melachim Perek Vav Halacha Hey, based on the Gemara, tells us Shlosha Ksavim Shalach Yehoshua Ad Shalom Nichnas LaAretz, that Yehoshua sent three messages to the inhabitants of Eretz Canaan before he entered and began his military campaign. The first was, whoever wants to flee, now's your chance. Thinking of, the IDF in Gaza, dropping leaflets, giving warning, dud bombs on the roofs of buildings. This is your chance. You want to flee? Get out of the way. Now is your chance to go. So Yeshua did that as well. He gave, forewarned all of the Eretz Canaan residents before they even entered Eretz Canaan with the Jewish nation. He sent warning to the nations inhabiting the land. Whoever wants to flee, now is your chance. Go. And then, before he entered the country, he gave them another offer. Whoever wants to stay and make peace with us, okay, so let's make peace. And then finally, after those first two offers were sent and presumably rejected, he then said, whoever wants to fight and wage war, now we will wage war. So those are the three messages that Chazal tell us, the Rambam quotes, Yeshua offered or sent to the inhabitants of Eretz Canaan. And this first pasuk, now describing what happened when they crossed the Yarden, all of a sudden, Vayimas levavam v'lo hoyabam od ruach m'pnei b'nei Yisrael. The hearts of the inhabitants of the Eretz Canaan melted away. They could no longer stand up to confront b'nei Yisrael. So now we move on to the next episode in the parak. The next episode of the parak is HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that time, ba'esahi, at that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Yehoshua to make for himself charvos tsurim, which Unklus translates as sharp blades, sharp knives. others translate it as sharp flint stone. Either way, a sharp edge. For what purpose? To circumcise Bnei Yisrael. V'shuv mol es Bnei Yisrael shenis. To circumcise the Jewish nation. Why Sheinis a second time? Rashi says, because when they left Mitzrayim, the night before they left Mitzrayim, they were circumcised then, back in Egypt. But throughout the 40 years there in the desert, says Rashi, according to the Gemara Yevamos, they did not circumcise any newborn babies. And the Gemara explains they were concerned about the potential danger circumcising babies in the desert. And so, ever since they left Mitzrayim, no newborn was circumcised. Now, granted, you have those who were in Mitzrayim and were circumcised there before they left Mitzrayim, and as long as they were under the age of 20 when the Meraglim sinned, they made it through the desert, but any others who were born in the desert were not circumcised. So now Yeshua is being told to circumcise the Bnei Yisrael. And Rashi tells us here that this was critical. Why? Rashi says in Pasuk Dalet that Yeshua instructed the Bnei Yisrael when he introduced this mitzvah of Bris Milah to them. He said, if you think you are capable of inheriting this land in a state of arelus, of being uncircumcised, that's not going to happen. Because Abraham was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vatas Brisi Tishmor, you must preserve my bris, my covenant, the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And then he was told, I'll give you the land. The two go together. If you want to inherit the land, you must first circumcise yourself. That's why perhaps suggests, say for Mishpat Ozav, in the second bracha of benching, Nodlacha Alaret Shinchat Lavasenu Valbrischa Shechasamta Bevsarenu. We include in the bracha, which thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu for the land, we include mention of the Bris Milah, because to inherit the land, there had to have been Bris Milah first. You could not, Yeshua tells Klal Yisrael, inherit Eretz Canaan before undergoing Bris Milah, and that's why he did so right then and there, as the Pasuk itself stresses in Pasuk Beis, Ba'esahi, at that very time, at that very moment. Meaning says, Sefer Mishpat Ozav, you might have thought, now is the time to physically undertake an ordeal when you're about to wage war. Doesn't sound like the best strategy. Right, that's what happened to Anshei Shechem. Right? They went through Bris Milah and then they were too weak to fight. And yet, no, right now, but they're so about to fight, doesn't matter. Right now, but Esahi, Bris Milah. Despite the physical difficulty involved, but for the ability to inherit Eretz Canaan, you need the schus of Bris Milah. You need the schus of Bris Milah. And the Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas Balak actually tells us that Balak, when he tried to arrange for Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael, so the Yalkut Shimoni tells us that Balak said to Bilam, why don't you look at what the Bnei Yisrael are going to do in Shittim? And we discussed this in a previous year, what happened in Shittim, in Parshas Balak, end of Parshas Balak, when Bnei Yisrael sinned with the Benos Moab, and the Yalka tells us that Balak, in trying to find a means for Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael, says to Bilam, think about what they're going to do in Shittim. The Gilei Arayos are going to be in violation of, they're going to sin with and commit in Shittim. And Bilam says, the Yalkut responds, you're looking at what they're going to do in Shittim. I am looking at what they're going to do in Tsurim. What is Tsurim? Says the Yalkut Shimoni, this pasuk here in Yeshua. Asei lecha charvos Tsurim. This performance of Bris Milah, says the Yalkut Shimoni, mechaper lehen akama averos. It was the counterbalance to that avera of Gilei Arayos and Shittim. This performance of Bris Milah is what was mechaper and mochel them for that sinful behavior in Shittim. So it's in general a necessary requirement for their ability to inherit Eretz Canaan, but specifically, I guess, as a kapara for what they did in Shittim, this was also a critical form or means of attaining forgiveness for that avera. And the Yalkut says this on the pasuk in Parshas Balak of Kimerosh Tsurim Erenu. So that word there, Kimerosh Tsurim, Tsurim, Charvos Tsurim, Kimerosh Tsurim Erenu, that's what the Yalkut says. Bilam is saying, I see what they're going to do in Tsurim, Charvos Tsurim, with this mitzvah of Bris Milah. And Umigvaos Ashurenu, I see them, meaning Klal Yisrael, from the Gavos, from the hilltops. But that same word, notes, Sefer Mishpat Azov, is used here as well. Vayomol es b'nei Yisrael el givas ha'aralos. Givas ha'aralos. Literally, the mound of foreskins. I see you have hundreds of thousands of bris milos. Okay, it accumulates. But that word givos, that word of givos, is found both here in the pasuk in Sefer Yeshua and in the pasuk in Parshas Balak that the Yalkut says is a reference to Bilam speaking of the schus of bris milah and how that was mechaper for the sin of Shittim. Now, what's also interesting is that that very same pasuk in Parshas Balak, which speaks according to the Yalkut of this mitzvah of bris milah, how does that pasuk conclude? Kimerosh tsurim erenu. This is in Bamidbar Chav Gimel Tes. Umigvaos ashurenu. That's the first half of the pasuk, which the Yalkut says is a reference to Bilam seeing what's going to happen with bris milah in the times of Yoshua. And the pasuk concludes with the phrase, Hein am levadad yishkon, uvagoyim lo yischashav. They are a nation that dwells alone and isn't counted amongst the nations of the world. Now, what an appropriate way to end the pasuk that the Yalkut says is talking about bris milah. Because what is bris milah all about? Bris milah is all about distinguishing Jews from non-Jews and imprinting it on the body, that we are distinct, we are different. So, hein am levadad yishkon. Yes, that's the very pasuk that we said in the Yalkut, talking about the mitzvah of bris milah they're going to perform in times of Yeshua. So the pasuk concludes with, hein am levadad yishkon. They're going to dwell alone, they're going to live separately. And perhaps this would also help us understand what the pasuk in our parak says subsequently. The pasuk then says that Yeshua circumcised all the males who had been born in the desert, for had not been circumcised as of yet. And in Pasuk Tes, just jumping in for a moment, Pasuk Tes, after describing that Yeshua circumcised all the Jews who were born in the desert, had not been circumcised yet. So in Pasuk Tes, Vayomer Hashem el Yeshua, God says to Yeshua, Hayom, today, meaning now in the aftermath of bris milah that you've just performed, galosi escher pas mitzrayim me'aleichem. I have removed that sign of shame of Egypt from upon you. Now, why is the orla that was just removed a sign of shame? So Rashi says, what the pasuk refers to is that the Egyptians were taunting Bnei Yisrael when Paro said, Ru'u ki ra'a neged p'neichem. Paro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I see in my stargazing that you're going to be encountering a lot of blood out there in the desert. You're going to be suffering. It's not going to be good if you leave here. You're going to see a lot of blood out there. So here the pasuk tells us, Yeshua is being told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi explains, that taunt that the Egyptians used to verbally harass Bnei Yisrael, you're going to encounter a lot of blood out there. It's going to be bad for you. This is the blood he was referring to at the end of the day. The blood of bris milah. He thought it was a bad thing. No, it's a good thing. This is what the blood was referring to, the dam hamila that was experienced just right now. So this is the galosi chapras mitzrayim aleichem. This is the removal of that insult that the Egyptians would constantly throw at the Jews. You're going to see a lot of blood out there. Okay, now we know what it was. It was a dam hamila. Nothing to be afraid of anymore. But perhaps we can add that the chapras mitzrayim is a reference to the Orla as well, because there's a Medrash Rabbah in Shmos. The Medrash Rabbah in Shmos, very beginning of Sefer Shmos, Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash tells us that when Yosef HaTzadik died, the Jews suddenly did away with Bris Milah. Why? The words of the Medrash are, Kishemes Yosef Hefer Bris Milah. When Yosef died, the Jews neglected Bris Milah. Amru, they said, Nihiya kimitzrayim. We want to be like the Egyptians. We want to be like the Egyptians. And the Medrash says, when they did that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu suddenly changed over the love that the Egyptians had previously had for the Jews. After all, Yosef saved them from famine. But when they said, you know what, we're going to forget bris milah, Nihiya kimitzrayim, let's be like them. God at that point said, okay, that's what you're going to do. God transformed the love the Egyptians had for them to hatred. So perhaps here as well, Cherpas Mitzrayim, the shame of Mitzrayim, that symbol, the orla, the foreskin, was the symbol of the Jews attempting to assimilate, of the Jews emulating Mitzrayim, of the Jews saying, Nihi Akim Mitzrayim, let's be like them, forget about Bris Mila. The existence of the orla and the failure to do Bris Mila was a Cherpas Mitzrayim. It was a shameful stain on their record, so to speak, of their interest in being like the Egyptians. So by doing Bris Mila, Galosi Cherpas Mitzrayim Aleichem, I've removed that shame that the Jews had wanted to emulate the Egyptians when they were living in Egypt. That's why the Bris Mila is a complete separation of what Klal Yisrael had been like in Mitzrayim, and now they're moving into Eretz Canaan. Now we're different. And Am Levavad Yishkon. Because that's the episode here in this parak of Bris Mila. Then immediately afterwards, now Pasuk Yud, we move now into the description of the bringing of the Korban Pesach. So in Pasuk Yud, we're told that the Bnei Yisrael camped out in Gilgal. Gilgal seems to have gotten its name a few Pesukim earlier because of the one pasuk earlier, because of the galosi cherpas Mitzrayim me'aleichem vayikra shem ha'makom ahu Gilgal. I have removed galosi, and he calls the name of that place Gilgal. So the name Gilgal seems to have come from that galosi cherpas Mitzrayim, the removal of the cherpas Mitzrayim, the symbol of shame of Egypt from you. Hence the place is called Gilgal. Because now they're camping out in Gilgal, the pasuk says. And they now bring the Korban Pesach. On the 14th day of Nisan, they bring the Korban Pesach. And the Navi tells us they brought the Korban Pesach, Yedal Nisan, in the Erev, the afternoon, Ba'arba Shericho, in the plains of Yericho. Now, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayochlu Me'avor Ha'aretz, they eat from the produce of the land, Me'avur Ha'aretz. Avur, says the Malvin, means the previous year's grain. And they ate as well matzos v'koloi, matzos for the mitzvah of Pesach, eating matzah, and koloi, roasted kernels of grain. So they ate this from the Avur Ha'aretz, from last year's produce. Malbim explains, because the halacha is that one cannot eat the New Year's produce, the Chadash grain, until after the Minchas HaOmer is brought on the second day of Pesach. So now we're describing how they just brought the Korban Pesach on Yudal Nisan. The Minchas HaOmer is not being brought until Tes Zayin Nisan. So they're eating on that first day of Pesach the Avur Ha'aretz, the last year's produce, the old produce. And the Pasuk says, Vayochlu, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Me'avur Ha'aretz, they eat the old produce of the previous year, Mimacharas HaPesach, which the Malbim explains means the day after the bringing of the Korban Pesach. So they brought the Korban Pesach on Yedalid, then Mimacharas HaPesach, meaning the day after they brought the Korban Pesach. Now it's Tes Vav Nisan. They're still eating the old produce of the previous year because they have not yet brought the Minchas HaOmer, and therefore they can't yet eat the new grain. And then in Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayishbos Haman Mimacharas, the man that they had been sustained off of until that point now stopped falling. When did it stop falling? Well, it stopped falling because they're eating the grain of the land now. So they no longer needed the man. But Vayishbos Haman mi macharas. So the Malbim says that means the man stopped falling on the next day. So we had been discussing the day after the bringing of the Pesach, which was Tes Vav. The man stopped falling the next day, which is Tes Zayin, the 16th of Nisan. And Vayochlu It says, Vayichlu mitzvuas Eretz Kanan bashanahi. The end of Pasuk Beis, they ate from the tevuah of Eretz Kanan. Tevuah means the current year's grain. In other words, once you've gotten to Tzai Nisan, they brought Menachas Omer. Now they came to tevuah. So long as it was Tesvav Nisan, they're eating the Avur Haaretz, last year's grain. Once you get to the next day now, Tesai Nisan, the month stops falling, they're eating now from the Tevuas Haaretz, the new grain, because now it's the day they brought Menachas Omer, and they could eat now the new grain. Now, what's interesting here is that the Pasuk says, look at that Pasuk carefully, Pasuk Yedbeis, Vayishbos Haman Mimacharos, the month stopped falling the next day, meaning Tesai Nisan. Once they started eating from the produce of the land, they no longer had man. They ate from the new grain of that land that year. So Rashi says, because they no longer had man, therefore they ate from the grain of the land. Meaning, if they still had man, they wouldn't have touched the grain of the land. Why? Because why would I eat the grain if I could eat man? After all, the man was far preferred, says Rashi. So the only reason they ate the grain of the land is because they didn't have any man left. They had no choice. Which is somewhat ironic, as Mishpat Zav cites from Sefer Kli Yakar, that in the desert, when they were getting man, they were complaining, they were yelling, they were screaming, we can't stand this food. We remember the food of Egypt. And all of a sudden, now the man is gone. Oh, I got to eat the food of the grain of the land. I can't eat the man anymore. Doesn't sound familiar? It's like, what you have, you're not happy with. You're always complaining, I want that, I want that, I want that. And we no longer have what you had, all of a sudden now, I wish I still had it. Now, we don't appreciate our brachos so often, unfortunately, when we have them. We're always thinking about what we don't have. And then when those brachos are not accessible to us, then all of a sudden, if only I still had it. Only I still had it. So long as the man was falling plentifully every day, they're kvetching and kvetching and kvetching. All of a sudden, the last day, it's no longer there. Now it's kind of, now I got to eat the tvos arts. What can I do? Also, good musr. Finally, one last episode here in Perek Hey, starting with Perek Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yeshua is now Yericho, meaning he's in the outskirts of the city of Yericho, says Rashi. He's not in Yericho yet. Yericho's a walled city. He hasn't conquered it yet. He's outside the city, not too far, in the general confines of the city of Yericho. He looks up and he sees someone standing opposite him. V'hine ish omed l'negdo. And the fellow doesn't come with flowers. He's got a sword in his hand. So Yeshua approaches him and asks him, Halanu ata im litzarenu. Have you come to assist us? Or are you one of our enemies? Halanu ata im litzarenu. So the ish, that unidentified man, responds by saying, Lo, no, ki ani sar tzva Hashem. I am, I guess, an officer of the army of God. Obviously an angel. As Unklus himself says, I know I'm malach shaliach min kadam Hashem. I am an angel sent from God. I've come now, which means, says Rashi, to assist you. To assist you. And Yeshua immediately falls to the floor, bows to the individual, ma adoni, Dover medaber elavdo. What is it that you are going to say to me? And in response, the Sar Tzva Hashem says to Yeshua, Shal na'alcha me'al raglecha, remove your shoe from your foot, ke'amakam asher ata omed olav kodeshu, where you are standing is holy land. Vayas Yeshua Ken, Yeshua did so. Very much reminiscent of Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh. Each one at the beginning of their appointment to head Klal Yisrael, encountering, in Moshe's case, the Eish and Kadosh Baruch himself, in Yeshua's case, the Sar Tzva Hashem, and the removal of the shoe from the foot. Interesting symbolism. And the Malbim's explanation of it, it's meant to indicate that you have to be prepared to hear the Dvar Hashem, to have Nevuah, and therefore remove the physicality that is represented by your shoes on your foot to prepare for that spiritual connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is how the Malbim sees this symbolism in the removing of the of the shoe from Yeshua's foot. But again, the idea that this is an Admas Kodesh, again, very much the same message that was communicated to Moshe Rabbeinu when he was at the snap, when he was beginning to take on his leadership position of Klal Yisrael. Yes. Yes, very good. Yeah, very good question. By Moshe, it says, Shal ne'alecha, take off your shoes. Here it says, Shal na'alcha, take off your shoe. That's an excellent point. And in Sefer Mishpatim Zov, he quotes the Shelah, who asks that question, why by Moshe was it take off both shoes, and by Yeshua to take off one shoe? And he gives a bit of a mystical answer of sorts, one which I don't know that I can fully understand. But he relates it to the distinction between Moshe and Yehoshua with regard to the extent to which they were privy to a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I guess perhaps Moshe was privileged to have more of a revelation of Shekhinah, so he took off both shoes. Yeshua, less so, took off one shoe. But he does make that very same point that you're making now as well. And he attempts to distinguish between Yeshua and Moshe as a result. As to why they had to take off both shoes versus one shoe. One last point to make up here, which is the following, and that is that the Mishpat Zov suggests that this imagery of the angel, the Sar Tzva Hashem, and Yeshua's question to the angel, Halanu Ata, are you coming to assist us? Im Latzareinu, are you coming to fight against us? So Mishpat Zov says beautifully, we know the Mishnah Perek Avos tells us in Perek Dalet, Ha'osa Mitzvah Achas, if somebody does a mitzvah, kona lo praklet echad, you acquire by performance of that mitzvah a advocate angel on your behalf. Over avera achas, if you sin, kona lo kateger echad, you now have to deal with and contend with a accusing angel. Every act we do, mitzvah versus avera, will result in a creation of a malach, either defending us or prosecuting us. Perhaps here as well, Yeshua is asking this angel, you know, which kind of angel are you? Are you coming to assist, coming to undermine? Which one is it going to be? And the Gemara Megillah, this we mentioned in a previous year, actually sees in this conversation between Yeshua and the angel a bit of an unspoken or beneath the scenes conversation, if you will. The Gemara says that Yeshua is really asking the Malach, what is it that you're concerned about? What have you done wrong? And the Malach said, well, you know, yesterday you didn't bring the Karban Tamid when you were crossing over from Eretz Yarden to Eretz Canaan, and now you've been Mevatel Torah, you haven't engaged in Talmud Torah. And Yeshua says, then which one is the one you're more concerned about? And the Sar Tzva Hashem says, Atabasi, I'm worried about the now, the Bittul Torah, that's what I'm more worried about. In other words, as they're preparing for Melchama, what is that is most critical? What is that is most necessary to ensure this chus that will bring about the victory of Klal Yisrael in battle? It is make sure that you're engaged in Talmud Torah. Be very weary of Bittul Torah. Atabasi. I'm worried about the Bittul Torah that you are guilty of now as you're preparing for battle. That is what you have to be misakein and rectify immediately. When you go into battle, you have to be ever so cautious and wary of avoiding any Bittul Torah and intensifying one's Talmud Torah. And with that, we will conclude this week, and next week, Ezras Hashem, we'll get to the actual battle with Yericho in Perek Vav. Okay, good evening, everyone, and have a wonderful rest of the week.